Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial. Earners, what's up? Look, I want to give y'all a little peek behind the curtain of producing Earn Your Leisure. It's a lot more than just sitting down and chatting. It involves meticulous planning, recording, editing, and then promoting each episode to ensure it reaches all of you. And if you picked up any of our merch, then you know there's a whole extra layer of logistics, from inventory management to shipping. Running a podcast is like running a small business. And speaking of business, I know many of you entrepreneurs are involved in e-commerce. You understand how crucial it is to streamline operations and cut costs wherever possible. That's why I want to talk to you about ShipStation, the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates seamlessly with all your online sales channels. It's all about optimizing your shipping, connecting with expert partners, and freeing up more of your time to focus on scaling your business. Now let's talk about our experience with ShipStation. This tool has been a game changer for us, especially with automating routine tasks. Being able to manage everything from one dashboard and print shipping labels with just a click, absolute lifesavers. Plus, the discounts we get on shipping costs are incredible. Honestly, it feels like we're saving thousands. And as our show and merch sales have grown, ShipStation's robust automation and reporting features have helped us keep up without missing a beat. For those of you who get overwhelmed by order volumes, ShipStation's easy-to-use dashboard is a dream come true. You can import orders from any sales channel, apply shipping preferences automatically, and handle customer service issues right there. Not to mention the savings with up to 89% off carrier rates like UPS, DHL Express, and USPS. It's no wonder over 130,000 companies stick with ShipStation long term. So, are you ready to turn your shipping challenges into growth opportunities? Head over to ShipStation.com and use promo code EARN for a free 60-day trial. Again, that's ShipStation.com, promo code EARN. Start streamlining your shipping and scaling your business today.
What sector do you think is overhyped in 2023 and will correct in 2024?
Honestly, I think the AI space is overhyped. Ding, ding, ding. And a large language model. From the startup perspective that got funding from either angels or VC, I think we've seen the best of breed so far. Of course, OpenAI dominant, Anthropic dominant, but I'm seeing every company saying that they are some kind of AI iteration to get funded. And I think we've seen the best of breed perform and get funding. Some, of course, will get acquired. But I think if a company is connecting itself, or a publicly traded company is connecting itself to a large language model to boost earnings or revenue, I don't think that's going to work in 2024. There needs to be a new innovation. I'm surprised Apple hasn't dove more into the large language models for Siri, or hasn't acquired something in a space, but I don't think it will have the same impact that it will in 2024 as it did in 2023. NVIDIA, of course, is going to do great. AMD will, of course, do great. They did great today as well. But if a company, let's say a healthcare company, is tying themselves to AI or LLMs for 2024, I think that boat has left the dock.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's why I said, dang. I think that spot on. And I feel like it's been priced in, right? If AI is part of the business model, or it wasn't in 2023, it's been priced in until 2024. And so it's going to be those leaders that are going to continue to lead. We saw NVIDIA hit an all-time high today. They announced three new graphic cards. I mean, AMD was on fire today.
They're trying to fight back. Yep.
They're there, right? They're fine. Like, hey, we have a competitor that's going to be more affordable for your company. Great strategy. So those leaders are going to continue to lead. But the other companies that are trying to play catch up, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. And you know, when people see a space like AI inside of the tech sector, it's like, this is our new way to make money. And a lot of times people get caught in that. And that's what happens when we hear the word bubble. Everybody tries to crowd in because there's money to be made. Not a lot of great products are made inside of that, but few will survive. And right now, I think we know who the leaders at the forefront are going to be. So they'll continue to thrive. But I think you're spot on with AI being that sector.
Back to being on the same page.
Yeah, there we go. There we go.
Yeah, gather my thoughts, serenity, and zen. Yes,
that's teamwork right there.
All right. So yeah, the moment that everybody's been waiting for. So Bitcoin is on fire right now. Crossed over 47,000 today. So you know, everybody's back on the Bitcoin train, back on the crypto train. Talks to the ETF getting approved within the next week or so. So Bitcoin, crypto.
Yes.
Will Bitcoin hit 100,000 this year? And what is the future for cryptocurrency in 2024?
Bitcoin community, I want no smoke. Crypto community, love y'all dearly. I have nothing bad to say. Will it hit 100 grand? I don't believe so, but I think it can have a case to push towards like 65,000 easily. The ETF case, I don't know if the ETFs will get approved by next week, but if they do, it'll be a strong push to the upside. So we're currently at like almost 47,000. So when I said to buy in at 29,000, 20,000, for the record, it was a good time to buy. If I made you money, please put yes in chat, continue to hold. But performance wise, Bitcoin has beat everything on the stock market. Hold, I talked about this in Ghana, hold everything for a 7 to 8 year period, you'll be good. If it can get through 61,000, and we want to, please write this down, you want a gradual increase. We don't want a 15% jump or 12% jump, like just a steady gain of 3 to 8%. It's great, because then you don't want a whole bunch of short sellers coming in, or people taking profit, or people getting too afraid. So if it's a smooth push to the upside, I think we can get into like the high 60s and be okay. 2025, we should clear 100 grand on Bitcoin though.
So do you think the appreciation that we've seen is attributed to the pending ETF approval?
Absolutely.
Wednesday it could happen. Or is this another one of these, and we've seen this in the crypto space, especially with Bitcoin, where we've seen a price go up on speculation of news, and then that news doesn't happen, and then this process gets delayed for another 6 months, and you know, some of the whales start taking a little bit of the profit?
I think it's different, because for sure BlackRock is probably going to be like the preeminent player in the ETF space with the Bitcoin ETF, so it's going to come. This is a sure thing. Like, it wasn't like before when people were speculating if it was going to have value, or when JP Morgan was lying about buying it or saying it was of no value, then they were buying it in Europe. This is going to happen. So we're just waiting for the announcement. So if it's a sell-off, it'll be small. But I think anyone who's already in it, you should continue to hold. The next 5 or 6 years should be absolutely incredible. And the second most important thing, people want bigger returns. As much as flack I may have given Kathy when I was talking about her strategy and how they attacked it, one thing that she did make clear to the larger public is people don't want 7 to 12% returns. If you can get me 16 to 30%, great. And depending on when you can get into Bitcoin, you can get that in a week or a month. So I think you should definitely hold on to this. And if you look from that run from 2020, when there's that $5,000 and some change, if you've held from then to be up almost 10x is amazing. So continue to hold for the long term. But this is a sure bet for sure. And I definitely want, I wonder how much pressure this is going to put in the reallocation of the S&P 500 to perform even better if this ETF gets approved. Because if I have to pick between, let's say I have $15,000 to put into an ETF, would I rather put it in a SPY or a Bitcoin ETF? The outflows of S&P could be higher than we expect and go into the Bitcoin ETF because we want a higher multiple. And we'll finally have some safety in terms of like certain pockets where institutions will buy to keep support levels pretty high. So I'm interested to see how that war plays out over the next 2 or 3 years.
So BlackRock, Spider, they could all potentially have their own Bitcoin ETFs.
But it's the 80-20 rule. Like 80% of money is going to flow into 20. Then you have the 95-5 rule. BlackRock, JP Morgan, State Street, the big players are going to be the ones who end up with the majority of money under management with this ETF. So,
okay.
Yep. Hold on for dear life.
Yeah.
Investing is easy, man. If you hold for the long term and stop, number one rule, please write this down, in 2024, stop deviating for the next decade.
Yeah, I wonder where people are even now with all the confusion in 2023 with cryptocurrency platforms. Coinbase is still the safest, right? Are people still using Binance or, you know, there's all these other sources. I wonder now, especially with what we're seeing with Bitcoin's going, as people are trying to get reallocated with that space, is the influx, I'd have to look into it, is the influx going to Coinbase or is it going to another platform? Be interesting to see.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Apple, if you need an idea of something to infiltrate.
Yeah. Somebody's got to make the money.
Absolutely.
Hmm. All right.
But for everyone in the comments, do you think Bitcoin will go to 100,000 this year or will it be 2025?